Blog Talk Radio.
Well, howdy, 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 everybody. It is Wednesday. That means it's time for Standing on My Soapbox, where we rant about, rave about, and review the week in LGBT news, pop culture, and politics. It's Wednesday, October 25th, and standing on my soapbox right beside me today is my very special guest co-host. He's a fitness model, actor, and singer. One of my favorite new friends. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Josh Orozco. Josh, how we doing, buddy?
Great. How are you doing, Scott?
I am doing fantastic. Thanks so much for calling in today. How's everything in beautiful downtown sunny Southern California?
Oh, my goodness. It is really hot. We are dying over here.
We were talking off air. We are on opposite extremes. I was talking to my friends. I've had a couple guests on the Leftist Right Show Monday and Tuesday from L.A. I guess you've had like 100 to 108 degree weather. Can you believe today we're having a high of 46 degrees here in Ohio?
That is insane. You got the complete opposite.
I'm freaking making chili, dude. I'm making chili. I'm making soups. I don't have any of that stuff in the summer or wintertime. Or summertime, only wintertime. So it is massive.
I'm over here having smoothies.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for sharing that. I appreciate that, buddy. Well, it's so good to have you back on again. We had you on the Leftist Right Show a couple weeks back, talked all about your career. Things are just taking off really strong. You've been doing a lot of fitness massage featuring DNA Magazine and so much more, but you're really starting to concentrate on your music a bit, right?
Yeah, I'm actually just almost finishing up on the song, and a good friend of mine, I told you about James Townsend, a producer, he's hopping on board. I just showed him the song yesterday, and he likes it, and he wants to be a part of it, so I'm super excited to have another great artist in on this with me.
Fantastic. Congratulations. James, of course, is a fantastic photographer as well. He's taken a lot of those great shots we've seen of you in your modeling, and he just, I guess, finished a new movie recently. I kind of talked to him on social media. Hopefully we'll have him on the Leftist Right Show in the next couple of weeks here.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, he's been working hard.
It's called Thruple, I guess, and they're getting ready to do the finishing of it. They're going to have a crowdfunding campaign for some of the finishing funds. They got the principal photography done, so congratulations, man. You artists are going crazy out there in SoCal, I'm telling you.
Yeah, all helping each other out, you know.
There you go. Well, guys, this is your call-in show, so feel free to call in. Every week I see you out there. I can see who's listening, how many are listening. We don't get that many calls, but if you feel like calling in, you want to talk about any of the subjects that Josh and I are talking about, if you want to bring up one of your own, or just want to say hi to Josh and myself, give us a call. It's 347-989-0126. Again, 347-989-0126. You'll be put on hold, but you'll be able to hear the show live as we're going on. And we will get to you as quick as we can. So let's jump right into it. I want to start off with a kind of a sad story that we were talking about, Josh, and then we'll go into some fun stuff later on. But this has been hitting the news this past week. It's really breaking my heart. We have the murder of an 8-year-old boy in California, and he was murdered from abuse from his mom and his mom's boyfriend. Because they thought he was gay. How scary is that?
It's heartbreaking, you know, to see how people, to see that the changes that we hope, you know, are being made, or, you know, there's a lot of people that are still backwards and just, you know, a lot of the stuff going on in the world right now and in our country even is not helping the situation whatsoever, you know, getting past those old ways and moving into the new ways.
Right. We're hearing more and more. I've been talking to a lot of my guests this October. It was National Coming Out Day on October 11th. So I've been hearing a lot of coming out stories, and it seems the younger my guests are, the easier it's been coming out, which is kind of cool. But then we have this guy was 8 years old. His name was Gabriel Hernandez, this young boy. His mother, the boyfriend, and four social workers have been charged with child abuse. Thank God a security guard at the child services where he went into just couldn't stop commenting on what he saw. I guess he saw like 20 burn marks on the kid. There was marks behind his ears.
Oh, yeah.
On the back of his head. It was just tragic just having to read. I had to stop reading it. It was just crazy.
Yeah, it broke my heart. I mean, they said they were locking him up and they were, you know, feeding him cat poop and stuff. I mean,
yeah,
completely like, horrible.
How does anyone do that to anyone, let alone because they're considered different or LGBT or something like that? Like you said, we feel like we've been having all these three steps forward, and then since January 20th, feels like
mm-hmm.
two steps back. You know,
yep.
You know what I'm saying without really saying it there, but yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's like,
well,
that's an example that people are following. And the scary thing is I feel like that whole event, you know, what's going on in politics and stuff, it's giving people who were kind of, you know, had these, you know, hateful thoughts and stuff, it's making them feel like they can just come out of hiding and just start doing things, and it's bad.
Exactly right. I mean, it's just, we've had the Justice Department rolling back protections for LGBT through religious liberties, and even going against briefs for Supreme Court on certain cases. You just don't feel like the government has your back like we felt it had for 8 years. And it's sad. I think it's rejuvenating our community a bit. I mean, our community, you're a young pop man, but our community was really an activist group for a long time because of the AIDS crisis, especially. We couldn't get the government to even acknowledge it, or the President Reagan, to even say anything about it for so many years. And that's how kind of the organization of the community kind of got together. We had Stonewall, we got other of these things, that we were really an activist community for such a long time. But we
mm-hmm.
felt with the last 8 years, we had the back of our government for the first time in a very long time. And now it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a scary time.
Crazy, crazy.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into
mm-hmm.
some fun stuff. Move on from there. That's the only really sad story I saw this week. We always have something going on that we don't like. But let's try to focus on the positive a little bit more if we can here. What do you want to start, my friend? Pick a topic, any topic.
Oh, man. Let's talk about Ellen.
Oh, God, I love the story. Don't you love the story? Did you see the video?
I did. I saw it. I love her. She's amazing.
I love,
you know, and
Ellen.
She's been a big pioneer from the start. I mean, she went through a lot of crap back, you know, when she first came out. But she's really, really made a name for herself and for the community and really been supportive. And I love her.
It's been so good. I mean, like you said, she went through, when they canceled her, when she first came out, they canceled her series. She felt like she couldn't work again.
Yeah.
They took a chance on her for this talk show. And the first year she could really even barely hint she was even gay. And now she is full-throating, supporting the community in so many different ways. We want to play this clip for you. And the reason I'm bringing this one up, and she does so many great things for so many people, this is kind of close to home, and I'm actually reaching out. This guy is from southwest Pennsylvania, which is real close to me. It's within an hour. I'm right over the border in northeast Ohio here. And he goes to Shipping Point University. So we're going to go ahead and clip. I'm going to try to talk over the first 45 seconds because I forgot to. It's funny, they did a segment with Twitch teaching white guys to dance. It's pretty a funny segment, but I forgot to cut it out. So you got like 45 seconds of people dancing. It's bad enough not to see the video on radio, but just to have to talk about the visual dance, kind of silly. So I'm going to play it forward here a little bit, see what we can do. But we'll play the video first, talk about the Far Side. This is Ellen. She gets a letter about one of her listeners. She's been so good to her fans. So I'm going to bring this up now. We got 20 seconds left, and Josh and I will talk about this on the other side. Give me 1 second here.
Oh, that was fantastic. I think that's you because I can see your head sticking up, and you're very tall. What's your name? Hi, Trent Bauer. How are you? Come on down here, Trent Bauer. Hi. Hi, Trent. You're very tall.
I get that a lot, yeah.
Yeah, you'll have to hold
sorry.
That closer. Yeah. All right, you get that a lot.
I do.
How tall are you?
I am 6'10".
6'10".
Uh-huh.
And when did you shoot up to, were you always tall, or at what age did you start growing very?
So I was really short and plump in elementary school, and then grew about 7 inches going into seventh grade, so people really didn't even notice me, who I was. They didn't know who I was.
Wow, what a huge difference. Seven inches in a year?
It was really painful, yeah.
I bet it was. I bet it was. You're here with your friend Steph?
I am, yeah, she's right
yeah,
there.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I know that. I know that because she wrote a letter.
She did.
Yeah. She wrote, she said, "Dear Ellen, I want to tell you about the most selfless and special person I know, and his name is Trent Bauer. He's your biggest fan. He spent his entire college career fighting for gay rights and was even nominated for Homecoming King because of all the good that he does. Trent has a heart of gold. He is the definition of a true angel. Ellen, thank you for inspiring Trent to be the guy that he is. Love, Steph." How about that? Did you know she wrote in?
No idea.
So you you watched the show, and yeah, right, and good. I'm glad. I'm appreciative of that. I always like when people watch the show. So I heard that you were very excited when you got tickets. That you haven't really slept or anything.
Not at all. No.
No.
Nope.
No. All right. So you live in Pennsylvania?
I do. I live in south of Pittsburgh, and I go to school in Shippensburg University.
Okay. And you're a senior?
I am. Yep. Yeah. I'm a senior.
And tell us everybody about the you're creating a program for the students there.
I am. So I am the LGBT student coordinator, which is a position that I wrote to the president to ask them to create. I as a student of the LGBT community, I felt that there was an underserved lack of resources. So I wrote to them and asked if I could do some research to develop a center on campus. And, you know, we're kind of in the process of doing that. So I'm really excited.
Good for you.
Thank
Good
you.
For
Thank
you. That's
you.
Amazing. All right. What do you want to do after you graduate?
I'm in the process of applying for the Peace Corps, but, you know, my options are open. Would love to see what happens with this resource center, and if we can kind of get it moving, would love to leave that behind.
That's amazing.
Thank you. Thank
That's
you.
Really sweet. Okay, well, I want to do something for you because you're a good guy, and I've been partnering with Cheerios because we want to help spread 1 million acts of good, and we love what you do for the community, and you're struggling to pay for college, so we want to be able to help you continue all the good you're doing, so we're going to give you $10,000. All right, I want to hear about your act of good. Go to our website. Tell us your story.
Isn't that cool? That was so awesome. I love that.
I do. It's amazing. He's such a good guy.
I reached out to the LGBT department. They actually have it online. And I reached out today and sent an email. Hopefully we'll get to have him on the show. I'd love to be able to talk to Trent in person. Like I said, just 30 minutes away. It's not that big of a drive or anything. So
yeah,
I think that's so awesome. I love that she's doing the good deeds. We'll talk more about that, but we got a caller. Let's go ahead and bring a caller in. This is Tom from West Hollywood. Tom, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Welcome to the show. Say hi to Josh.
Hey, Josh. How are you?
Hey, Tom. Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I just wanted to mention about that. I actually saw that episode, and yes, Trent is amazing, and so is Ellen. But what that's being from, especially West Hollywood, California, and anywhere in California for that matter, there most colleges and universities have resources for the LGBTQ community, but it's just heartbreaking actually that some of the, you know, the whole country is not California, so. The fact that he was able to set that up and she was able to help is amazing, but I just wish we could have that more widespread.
Well
exactly.
said, man. Very true. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm just saying it shouldn't be a rare thing. It should, you know, in my opinion, it should just be the standard, but unfortunately it's not. So good for him for setting that up.
Definitely.
Well, like I said, I'm the older man of the group here. Let's talk to you guys. You guys even have high school GSAs. Was that such a thing when you guys were going to high school?
At mine, yes. My best friend, Sarah, she actually was the leader of the GSA at my high school, and I met her about a year after that. But, yeah, she was doing that for a while, and it was really cool. They had a bunch of people involved.
Nice. What about you, Tom?
Actually, I am a little older. And believe it or not, back in the 80s, there was, at my high school, there really was a group as well, even back then.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I know that wasn't the norm back then. And mind you, it was a handful of students, but they were brave enough to pioneer it back then, and I believe it's still there. I would hope so.
That is awesome. I graduated late 80s as well, and I didn't even know anyone else was gay in my school. We thought a couple of the drama kids were, but no one ever was really out, period, in my school. So to have a GSA is just miles above where grew up in Southern California. I was in West Covina, California, where I grew up, but I had no clue.
No, well, I was in Glendora, and there was a group that were out back then.
Wow, you're a neighbor. I
have
great friends who graduated from Charter Oak High School over in your school district over there.
Wow, that is just down the street.
Awesome.
Small world.
Small world.
Yes,
yeah, I really
is.
Think that we need to talk about being open and honest in school. I mean, I think people are coming out at such an earlier age now, and you really need to have those resources. Luckily, they have the internet and everything to kind of learn. I mean, you didn't really know what your feelings were back in the day. You have the internet to kind of talk about it and learn a little bit about it. But to have that support system from a school or a college really can make all the difference.
Yes.
Yeah, it helps a lot. I mean, when I was in high school, I didn't have to worry about any of that stuff. You know, I had a group of friends that were super supportive, you know, and all the students, I mean, nobody was really like that, you know. No one really shamed you or anything. So I was really lucky.
It is cool. That's very cool. Well, it's National Coming Out Month. I don't know if I ever asked you, Josh, what was your coming out story like?
Oh, I came out when I was 17, and before that I hadn't really been interested in guys, but then I had a dream, and then it just started kind of leading to other things, and I started thinking more about it, and then I remember coming out to my mom, and then I came out to two of my best friends that were on a bus with me on the way to the block at Orange, and that was about it. And I mean, after that, it just, you know, I met my best friend Sarah, and she's a lesbian, and she really helped me during the whole coming out process. You know, she introduced me to new people, and it just kind of spiraled after that.
That's awesome. Tom, do you mind sharing yours?
Well, see, since I am a little bit older, and even though it was somewhat open at my high school, I struggled with it for years. I actually dated girls until I was about 22 and really had a rough time coming to terms with it because the internet wasn't as easy back then. And it was quite a struggle until I actually realized I was in love with one of my best friends, and he felt the same way. So that kind of blossomed, and then it kind of went from there. And then it just sort of naturally happened with my family, and my family embraced it, luckily. So it wasn't until I was about 23 till I actually came out, and it was a slow process.
That's awesome. I was the same way, man. I was dating people in high school, trying to be the cool kid. There was a group of four of us that were best friends, and all three of them had girlfriends, and I was kind of I didn't really want any girl to tie me down, but I still had to find dates, everything we went to, and all that. I was very much in the closet, and ladies, you got to understand, that was also the AIDS time, and so I didn't even know what that was, and I was scared to death of it. And it was a very hard time. When I came out, it wasn't a tragic story. I didn't get rejected by anybody. I was just scared shitless, to be honest with you. But it's a different time now.
Right. I mean, I could say the same. I was afraid to even admit it to my family. But once it actually happened, it was a complete non-event. My family was just like, oh, all right.
Nice. Love that. Well, Tom, thanks for calling.
We need more of that.
Talk about when we have you. The floor is yours. Anything happening this week that you really thought was cool or that you hated or you want to talk about?
Nothing too crazy. I am going to see if I can actually try to go Friday to for Halloween. There is something really exciting near me. It's the up in Griffith Park. There's a haunted hayride, and it's actually set up by a lesbian, but it's grown into quite a spectacle now. So that's what's kind of going on in the Hollywood area.
Well, now I'm afraid you're a ghost and you're looking over Josh and I's notes, because that was one of the next stories we were going to talk about here. You're scaring me, Tom.
Well, it just happened to be something I was looking forward to possibly go Friday night. It's real close to me, so I want to try to catch it before Halloween's over. But it's quite a spectacle now.
Stay
it
on
started
the segment
several
with
years ago. I'm
stay
sorry?
Stay with us with the segment and talk to us about that, because that's one of the things we want to talk about. I don't know if you know
more
than I do. I didn't know too much about the actual haunted hayride. I remember the girl. I didn't know she was lesbian. I'm a huge Shark Tank fan, and she actually went on Shark Tank and got a $2 million investment to make these scary things happen in other events besides just L.A. $2 million Mark Cuban went in her company for on Shark Tank, and I was just amazed. Didn't even know she was a lesbian. But tell me about that adventure, because it's like supposed to be like 20 acres or something this year. It's huge.
Well, I know where it is. I usually go hiking in that area. It's a section of Griffith Park where there used to be an old L.A. zoo back, I think, in the 1920s or so, long time ago, before the actual zoo, the current zoo. And that whole area is just kind of abandoned, but she pretty much took that whole area over. There actually is a hayride, but there's also shows and, you know, ghouls and monsters and you know,
that's
just
awesome.
People
Josh,
scaring the wits out of people.
We talked about before, Not Scary Farm was one of my favorite places to go when I lived in Southern California. You went this year. Talk about that.
Well, I went with a big group, and we actually probably should have gotten the fast passes because we only got into about 4 mazes, but it was a really good time. But I mean, the lines are just getting crazier every year. I feel like, I mean, I've been going for years since I was a kid, cause I live a street away. So, you know, everything's better when it first starts, but I liked the hayride. I actually went to the hayride a couple of years ago, and it was really fun. It was very like interactive, you know, because you're in this hayride and you're driving through and there's monsters jumping out and stuff. So
nice.
Spooky.
Let's talk about how our culture, LGBT, we've really taken over Halloween, haven't we? Between West Hollywood and everything. Halloween's our time.
Yes, it is.
Have you always been into it, Tom? Have you been?
Well, I live in West Hollywood, which is the center of all the chaos, so I kind of can't avoid it. The street is blocked off. There's hundreds of thousands of people in some of the most amazing costumes you've ever seen. I mean, professional-level costumes. So it's quite a show.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
That is awesome. I'm addicted to Colton Haynes. I think he's not only a gorgeous man, but I think he's a great social media guy. And he is known for his Halloween costumes. This year he went as Marge Simpson. You guys, either of you happen to see that? You follow him on Instagram at all?
I certainly did. I actually follow him on Instagram, and I saw his costume. It was amazing.
Amazing.
I didn't see it. I did not. I'm going to have to check that out. I follow him, but
yeah,
I didn't see it.
Check it out. Of course, he's on American Horror Story this year. Colton was I came across him on Teen Wolf, of course, because I was addicted to all the pretty boys on Teen Wolf, and he has went on to Arrow, and I'm a huge superhero fan, so he was an archer on Arrow, so I've been a huge fan of his forever. And two of the best things about Colton, if you've been following him for a while, is one is he goes back to his hometown usually every year, and now he's getting married this month, who knows what's going to happen, but he used to always go back to his hometown for Black Friday and take videos of his Black Friday events with his sisters and everything, and they would be just freaking crazy. so much fun. And then he is just, Halloween is his time. He is dressed up. I think when he was the Shrek girl, Princess Fiona was probably the funniest costume I've seen him in, but he goes all out, gets professional makeup person as well. It's amazing. You got to look him on Instagram, Josh. It's cool.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. I mean, that's what Halloween's all about, you know? Just go crazy. Be something different.
And what are you guys going to dress up as this year?
Oh, my goodness. To be honest, I work the next day, so I'm not sure I'm going to do much, but I'm planning to go to my friend Sarah's house, and we're going to just dress up in some of her masks, and we're going to spook little kids as they trick-or-treat.
Nice. Tom, do you take place in the West Hollywood tomfoolery?
Sometimes, but I don't have a costume this year, unfortunately, unless I come up with something at the last second.
Nice. Yeah, Halloween is a good time had by all. I'm actually doing a special Halloween pre-tape episode next Tuesday for Left of Straight Show, so I can give out the candy to the kiddies, and I'm going to a little party afterwards as well. I have Jenna Ushkowitz from Glee. I pre-taped with the other day. She'll be my first guest. And she's been in such great costumes from Glee and all that. We're going to talk to her about that. And then I have Derek Jameson, who is a fitness instructor at the Phoenix Effect in L.A. and is a fantastic musician. So we're going to have a fun Halloween episode, but I get to play and hand out candy and go to a party myself because I pre-taped it all. I was ahead of the game.
You were. I love it.
All right, well, Tom, you and Josh, hold on the line. We'll say bye to Tom. Tom, thanks for calling in, guy. We'll say goodbye officially just a second. Let's do a little break here. When we come back, we have a lot more subject to talk about. Let's play out a little Frankie Grande. This is his song Queen, which is kind of fun and hilarious for Halloween. You're listening to Standing on My Soapbox with special guest host Josh Orozco. We'll be back right in just a couple of minutes.
Playing hip clips from the 70s, you know, when Ziggy played guitar. It was the hair, the shoes, the glam, the booze, the ensemble and their glistening hues. They drew me in with their doe-eyed blues, and I dreamed of being a star, a rock and roll fag, queen of the rock and roll revolution. I'm an icon, baby, an institution. Nothing short of a miracle, inspiration. And I'll carry the torch for this rock and roll. Never needed anybody, I was much too proud. I had to make it on my own. But the road was long and the river wide. It was hard to cross to the other side. So I packed it in, let the passion die. I never felt so alone. Bye. day the music left me. Silence and confusion. They say that following delusion can lead you pretty far from home. But then you walked in with your cockeyed grin and you showed me some affection. You gave me a new direction. Hell, maybe I found a new home. A rock and roll fag, queen of a rock and roll revolution. I'm an icon, baby, an institution. Now they showed all the miracle inspiration. I'm gonna carry the torch for the rock and roll.
Alrighty, we are back. That is Frankie Grande with Queen. Of course, Ariana Grande's boyfriend, we all know from Big Brother, and he's gone on to so many great things. Guys, I have my special guest co-host Josh Orozco here today. We're standing on my soapbox talking about everything that interests us in the news, LGBT news, pop culture, and politics. If you want to talk about anything or just join the conversation, please give us a call, 347-989-0126. And that's 347-989-0126. Big shout-out to Tom calling in from West Hollywood. Guys, we were talking about the Ellen clip a little bit ago. And so cool. Like I said, Trent Bauer was his name. Got $10,000 for starting an LGBT group in his college. Also in the clip, you heard he was named his high school homecoming king, or ran for it at least. And I wanted to bring up something I saw this week, Josh. There's this high school kid, gay guy, openly gay in high school. I believe it was, let me find out, Texas. Clute, Texas, from Brazoswood High School in Clute, Texas. And he decided to run for homecoming king on his own. And so he put his name out there, and he campaigned for it. And sure enough, the guy won. Big congratulations to him. And then there was a backlash. Unfortunately, we, like I said, we were talking about high school and GSAs and things coming around, but we do have that backlash on occasion. And a group of kids in school tried to start a new hashtag, not my king, kind of taking over the not my president kind of thing there. And he just answered it with the most beautiful way, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Can't back down. You just got to stand up and keep going. You know, that's how change is made.
Exactly. He was out proud of it. He actually went online and bought one of the t-shirts they were selling with the hashtag not my king, wore it to shirt proudly. One of his good friends, this girl, wrote a great tribute about it. I thought it was so touching. We still don't know what the school was doing. The school was saying that they don't tolerate bullying, but it doesn't sound like anything was done to these kids that started the campaign, even though they have screenshots of them talking about the t-shirt and selling the t-shirt. But just a big way to go guy to Joel, though. That was kind of cool for him to just to think about it. Think that he's not less than. He deserves to be homecoming king just as anyone else does. Campaign, and he has to have some friends there if he won. I mean, he just won straight out, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, for them to make a shirt backlashing him winning, I mean, come on. And it makes me wonder, I mean, these kids are in high school, so were parents involved? I mean, just really makes you start to think.
Right, exactly. Especially if you're selling T-shirts, usually you have to have start up a store with a credit card and things like that. Someone's got to help you do that.
Yeah. Exactly. So obviously, yeah, some of these parents are questionable. kudos to him, though. I mean, yeah, good for him for standing up.
Yep, exactly. All right, what's the next topic on our wheel of raves and rants this week?
Honey.
Honey, I like
the
little
honey. I do too.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce the segment, my friend?
All right. Well, this segment was about three gentlemen who are selling honey, and they made a very, very cool video. Are we going to play the video, or?
We'll go ahead and play the video, sure.
Yeah.
Let's play the video, and we'll talk about on the other side here what this is. It'll be 1 second. We're going to play this. It's from a honey company, and it's out of the UK. So it's out of England, and you may or may not know that England loves its porridge and loves its honey. That's something the UK is known
yes,
for.
Yes,
they
do.
They're not the biggest foodies in the world, unfortunately. Those are not my two favorite things. I like honey, but it's kind of funny that porridge is so big over there. But so this company, Rouse Honey, decided to go the natural route. When you're talking about porridge and you're talking about honey, what do you think about? But three bears. Let's listen to this, and we'll talk about it on the other side.
Start the day with a warm bowl of porridge. It's full of manganese, which is a natural antioxidant.
And we all need plenty of those, don't
we? We do indeed.
Yeah. Now, I'm making a blueberry compote.
Thank you, Matt.
With Rouse honey and a generous drizzle of lemon juice.
Thank you, Muffles. That's nice. That's going to be lovely and zesty.
Whilst you're waiting for your porridge to cook, why not heat your undies on the stove?
Ooh, hot pants.
Keep active and release those endorphins.
So I fixed the bike earlier so we can go on a bike ride later.
Yeah.
We fixed the
bike.
Well,
I finished the work.
That's why I saw you heading off with a bike pump. I wonder where you're off to.
Well, you know.
Right, time to bowl up, I think. All looking good.
Yes.
Lovely.
Strawberries,
thank you.
Top five berries.
Mary Berry. Yeah, she comes quite high for me too.
A spoonful of the compote.
And then some shavings of coconut, which is a great source of iron. And to bring it all together, plenty of this delicious Rouse honey.
Did you know that honey was revered by the Greeks as a traditional remedy? Did you know that?
You've been reading again.
Now, Joel, what have I told you? A little bit of knowledge can be dangerous. I want you to go and forget everything you've learned.
Okay, it won't be hard.
So there we have it. My delicious blueberry compote porridge with strawberries, lemon juice, coconut shavings, and Rouse honey.
And if all that fails...
Guys, left out.
Aww.
Yeah.
There you go, guys. You have to go to the website. You can find it on YouTube. You can go to Rouse, R-O-U-S-E, Honey, UK. Just look that up in your Google, and you can find this video. How funny was that, Josh?
I love it. It makes me want to try porridge.
Okay, you're a little braver than I am.
Just
makes,
a little bit.
It makes me like the Three Little Bears again, and I just think it's a great play on words. I love that they kept them gay. They have,
oh yeah,
you know, they have the daddy bear. His name is Phil, and he's the cook. And what they're doing is they've broken this into a three segment. They have a commercial that's playing. Then they have a three segment short web series where they're actually doing some cooking and giving you some porridge and honey recipes, which I absolutely love. But Papa Bear is Phil the cook, and then the middle bear is also known as Muscles. His name is Joel, and Baby Bear is Matt. He's a fitness fanatic, and these guys are cute bears, having a lot of fun, playing with it, and good on the UK for having some fun with this.
Absolutely. It's good to see the rest of the world coming out and just being proud.
We got to do a segment Wednesday all about the gay commercials, because there's some really good ones out there. They're starting to get As our community gets more emboldened and the companies are actually realizing what kind of buying power our LGBT community has, we're seeing more and more commercials come out. It's still not a huge number, but the ones that are coming out are pretty good and pretty well-polished machines.
Yeah. It's a good example to set, you know, just we're all people and everybody needs to be out there and just doing what they love and everyone needs to embrace it.
Exactly. And we really need to support these companies that do it. There's so many great companies out there. Back, like we were talking about, being a protest type of community for such a long time, we used to have boycotts and all these stupid things. I can't tell you all the things the gays boycotted when I was younger. And they're just not that effective. And what we really need to do is we really need to support those that are supporting us. I think that's a lot more effective strategy. I wish they were in America, this Rouse Honey Company, but I'm going to go out and buy some honey wherever I can find it, just so I can support my three bears.
Same here.
Oh, my gosh. Too much fun. Let's see. What's going on next? Let's talk about do you ever get to watch much TV? I mean, you're a busy guy. You're always either working with your music or studying your acting, and then you got to work. Do you watch much TV at all, Josh?
You know, I watch some, but not as much as some people. I mean, I'm always getting people asking me if I've seen something, and I'm like, no, I haven't. I need to, but
I'm on the opposite.
It's a work in progress.
Now that I'm older and that I'm here and I'm the home health care carried for my mom, taking care of my mom a lot, I don't go out as much as I used to. I go out when I can, when I want to. But I watch way too much TV, dude. It's a sickness. It's pretty bad. But let's talk about the current season. We started a new season last couple of weeks. Have you seen anything about the Dynasty show? Did you ever hear of Dynasty before? You're a young pup. Did you know what Dynasty even is?
I did not. I had no idea about it until I read about it recently. So. Sounds like
Dynasty
a good plan.
Was a huge soap opera when they were doing nighttime soap operas back in the day. And they had Dallas. I don't know if you heard of Dallas. Dallas had a recent remake not too long ago. But Dallas and Dynasty and Falcon's Crest, they were like these huge soap operas at night. And it was big. It was before there was a lot of cable. And so they were huge TV shows. And Dynasty... Dallas was like the oils of Texas, and they were kind of about rich people in Texas. Dynasty, I don't even know where it took place. Falcon Crest was rich people to winery, and Dynasty was just rich people out in the country somewhere. I don't even know where the heck they were. But it was a huge thing back in the day. They had a great cast. A lot of actors that are a lot older today were in it. The voice of Charlie's Angels, of Charlie, John, and I can't remember his last name. He was the leader of the Carrington family. And Linda Evans, who was a big supermodel back in the day. And Joan Collins was her nemesis, Alexis. It was a huge, huge nighttime soap. And the girls would have big cat fights, and it was over excess of money. And one of the sons was gay, Steven, and so he was kind of the shunned black sheep. Didn't have a great storyline. There was a cute guy playing him, so that's cool. But anyway, back in the day,
it's always good.
Dynasty was the shit, okay?
So,
taken to 2017, they've rebooted Dynasty. I was kind of scared. I know what happened. They did reboot Dallas a couple years back, like I said. It had on some very good-looking young guys on it. Jesse Metcalf was one of the stars. Josh Henderson was one of the stars. Very handsome guys, okay. Part of the Ewing family. But the soap, it only lasted about 2 years. I just don't think we're back into the soap opera genre. It's not really as big as it used to be, right? So They're bringing this show back now, and it is twisted up a lot. They've really brought this one into the next century, really brought it 2000s. So it kind of has a lot of fun twist to it. They have this time the wife, the Crystal, who was a big focus of the first show, was Linda Evans, is now spelled Crystal, C-R-I-S-T-O-L, and represents the Hispanic community. So they're representing the Hispanic community with Crystal this year, which is really kind of cool. And then the gay son, Steven, is a lot more prominent and allowed to be out and gay. Of course, the dad's still not happy because he's allowed to be prout and overtly sexual, which he couldn't have been back 20 years ago or whatever. One of the fun twists is they had, you know who Heather Locklear is?
I don't.
Heather Locklear was called Sammy Joe in the original, and she was kind of a Farrah Fawcett type, long flowing blonde hair, played this real bitchy, conniving girl in the original Dynasty series, went on to do a couple of other shows. It was pretty popular for a long time. But anyway, her character now, Sammy Joe, is played by a guy, and he's gay also. So he's with a gay son, so it's really bringing the gay storyline a lot forward for this season.
Yeah, from what I heard, they were going to be changing up the whole, you know, the father's relationship with the son, you know, and back then he was more despising of his son for being gay, but now it's going to be more about, you know, his work ethic and about him as a person rather than focusing so much on hating on him for being gay. So I think that's a really good message because TV and film and music and all of that really influences the young crowd. So I think that's a really good message to put out.
Exactly. I think it's really cool. And like I said, now they have a second gay character with the Sammy Joe, which is this conniving girl back then. Now it's going to be this conniving guy, which seems lots of fun. They had this other, one of their rivals was this real handsome guy named Jeff Colby. And this incarnation played by a black person. There was like no blacks in the entire first season 20 years ago. So it really made the cast very diverse and a lot of fun, so it's been really cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm going to have to watch
LGBT representation has been so cool this year. Will and Grace is back. Have you watched any of the new episodes at all?
I haven't. I actually didn't even watch the original, so...
The original one, you were probably 10 years old, so I understand.
Yeah.
But the new one is...
I was busy watching
back.
Buffy.
There you go, exactly. Gotta love our little Sarah Michelle Gellar. Oh, love her.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, the Will and Grace is back, and it's as strong as ever. They're taking on some great topics. The first episode took on the presidency and politics, which was fun. This last episode last week took on gay conversion therapy, which was they did it so artfully well. So that's back as a strong LGBT presence on TV tonight. I told you I'm a huge superhero fan, so I watch all the CW superhero shows, Supergirl, The Arrow, The Flash, Legends of Tomorrow. So it's a lot of fun for superhero geeks like me, but they do a big crossover between all these four shows every year. And this year their crossover is going to introduce a new gay superhero called The Ray. And he has some kind of light powers. I don't even know too much about him yet. But so we're kind of popping up everywhere in TV now. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's great. You know, it's good to get people out there. You know, like I said, this stuff influences people. It's really a good thing. And I hope I could be a part of it that, you know, someday too.
There you go, Mr. Actor Man. We need to see you there. I want to see you flying across the cities of Metropolis or something. I don't know.
Downtown LA.
There you go. How scary, how fun would that be? That'd be awesome. Oh, my goodness. Right, what else do you want to talk about today, my friend? Anything else on your mind?
Oh, shoot. One thing I think that's pretty big right now, I can't even remember his name, but I saw a lot of it on the news and on Facebook, but you know, it's kind of going into politics. There was this Republican guy who came out, and he actually put his job on the line for coming out and speaking against all the wrongs that are happening right now. And it's kind of like a waiting game to see who else is going to be coming out and speaking up, maybe, because it's going to show that, you know, people are kind of following their hearts and what they know is right.
I did see that yesterday. I think that was Senator Jeff Flake from Arizona, maybe. I think who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It's exciting to see someone come against your government. That sounds really bad, but when the government's not going in the direction you hope it would, we need to have some brave people that's going to stand up and say, hey, wait a second, this isn't necessarily right. And
exactly.
We need that. It's
I mean,
it's a scary time.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
you don't. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, it's true. You know, the bravery comes, it's a big part of it, you know, because like you were saying, you know, you guys went through a lot of those, you know, events and kind of like pioneering your way toward a better future, you know, the past like 30 years or so. And it's, you know, it's a lot more accepting now. Like I've experienced a very, you know, accepting group of people in my life. And I feel like a lot of that is because of you guys. So I feel like it's really important that people are coming out and speaking up, because this is the only way we're going to make change happen. You know, people don't make change by just keeping quiet. So it's a
agree.
Really good thing.
We can't be a silent
hopefully more come
anymore.
Out.
We really have to be vocal. Very well said.
Yes.
Hey, I did want to talk about, you had, I mean, if people aren't following your Instagram, we're going to give it to the end of the show here, because they got to follow you. It's just a lot of fun. You're very handsome, and it's just, you had a fun little party you went to last weekend. Tell everyone about that. The video was amazing.
Oh, thank you. Well, my good friend Kaylee, she's one of my best friends. We've known each other, lived next door to each other since about 6 years old, and she's getting married to a really great guy named Jared. And we went out for her bachelorette party. We all rented a party bus, and we took it up to a Tim Burton theme bar because she loves Nightmare Before Christmas, and that's located in Hollywood. And from there, we went to West Hollywood, and it was just me with 11 girls on a party bus, and they're all some of my best friends. So we were just drinking and having a good time. And before you knew it, my cell phone was coming out, and everyone was like, we're going to make a music video. And I was like, okay, let's do it. So we just kind of put it out there and just, that's what we do when we have fun, you know? We just get creative.
There you go. Well, it was so much fun. The party bus looked like it was a blast. Did you take them to any of the gay clubs in West Hollywood?
Oh, yeah. We went to Mickey's. That's my favorite spot where all my friends are. And took her to Mickey's. And somehow we ended up landing the VIP booth outside in the patio. And I don't know how that happened, but the couch was empty because they sometimes put a couch out there, and they ended up letting us, you know, chill there for the night. So she really got a great, great bachelorette party. One to remember.
Nice. I love that. We had that couch for my party that I had for all my radio guests when I went out there. We had a big party at Mickey's, and we took most of the patio. We took the couch and the first four tables next to the couch, but it's a
oh,
fun
wow.
time. It's been a little controversial. What was the crowd like that on a Saturday night? Because I've heard different things. It's been controversial about women taking over a gay bar and strippers at night. Was it real still opening and welcomed everyone? I'm sure the girls were having a blast. What did the guys, I mean, you're a regular there. You know a lot of people there. Is that still kind of cool in West Hollywood?
You know, from what I know, yes. I mean, the people I hang out with and that I, you know, socialize with, they're all very open and just good people, you know, that kind of stuff doesn't even matter. So we all just come together and we have a blast. You know, I always bring a bunch of my straight girlfriends with me and we just go out and we party.
I love that. That is so cool. I mean, that's the one thing that, because I know there was a big controversy while I was like, what are all these women coming to the gay bars for the strippers? They're for us. We don't feel comfortable. It's like, you know what, our whole goal is to be, it's great to be a community, but we also need to be a community of everybody. And we don't want to have,
exactly.
The whole goal is not to have to hide in a back alley gay bar. We have, West Hollywood's the ideal. You're out on the main drag. You can have anybody who's anybody come to there, have a great time. That should be our goal. So I'm so glad that's happening like it should be there.
Yeah, it's really nice. I mean, you know, unity is good, and we're, you know, it's time to break down the barriers of who's what. And just everybody just go out and dance.
Nice. All right, my friend, we're running out of time. Thanks so much for standing on my soapbox with me today. I hope you had a good time.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Scott.
Well, let everyone know where they can find you. Give them your social media so they can follow you like I do. Always lots of fun.
All right. Yeah, the best place to find me is on Instagram. You could follow me. My username is Josh_Orozco_, and Orozco is spelled O-R-O, Z like zebra, C like Charlie, O.
Very cool. Well, my friend, it's been a great time. You have to come stand up on my soapbox again. Stay on the line for me, guys. We'll be back next Wednesday with another issue of Standing on My Soapbox. Next week, we'll have a live Left of Straight show Monday with a couple of great guests coming on. And Tuesday, like I said, it'll be our special Halloween episode with the amazing Jenna Ushkowitz from Glee and singer-songwriter Derek Jameson. So join us next week. You can always follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Left of Straight. That's LEFTOFSTR and the number 8. Always on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 2 o'clock Pacific time, 5 o'clock Eastern time. We're going to play out with a little bit of one of my favorite songs. This is Rise, a Katy Perry cover done a cappella by Brian Justin Crum, who's a Broadway boy and was on America's Got Talent, along with our Superfruit friends from Pentatonix, Mitch Grassi and Scott Hoying, and two more of their friends. This is Katy Perry's Rise. We'll talk to you next week.
I won't justify. Oh, you will see me thrive. Can write my